WMFM, Seattle.
CBS News next on KIXI. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. For Republican Ford, a victory in what had once been considered Reagan country. For Democrat Carter, a victory in what had once been considered Wallace country. I'm Jerry Lande, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In the Florida Republican primary, President Gerald Ford, on the defensive early in pre-primary campaigning, has won his third straight primary contest against challenger Ronald Reagan. With most of the precincts reporting, the president was leading Reagan 53% to 47%. Reagan was once said to have been ahead of Mr. Ford by 2-1 in Florida. That fact prompting this reaction by the Ford campaign manager, Howard Calloway.
He did so. State where Mr. Reagan has been very strong from the beginning, and to win in that state, we just thought it would be great. But to win big, as we apparently have, is we're awfully pleased.
Florida Republican Chairman Billy Taylor, officially neutral in the primary, said Reagan has two chances left for the Republican nomination, poor and none. But Reagan says he intends to carry his challenge right on down the primary road and into Convention Hall in Kansas City. In the Florida Democratic primary, a personal triumph for Jimmy Carter, who cut into the anti-Washington protest vote on which George Wallace once had a monopoly. On native southern ground, which went heavily for Wallace 4 years ago, Carter was holding a four-point edge over Wallace. It was Carter, 35% of the vote, Wallace, 31%, and a late entry, Senator Henry Jackson, 23%, pulling most of his strength from the Miami area Jewish and senior citizen vote. In Illinois, where he's campaigning for next week's primary, Wallace said Carter won in a fair fight. Tuesday night, correspondent David Dick filed this report on the reaction within the Wallace organization.
Wallace has attracted a huge crowd at this Union Hall in suburban Chicago, but despite the enthusiasm here, there has to be deep shock in the governor's camp. No one we know of ever anticipated that Wallace would lose to Carter, much less by such an apparent wide margin. What does it mean? Well, it probably means Wallace will have to reassess his campaign top to bottom. In all likelihood, the governor will continue his campaign both here in Illinois and on down the road in North Carolina. But the results coming out of Florida tonight have gravely damaged Wallace's campaign. He wanted badly to defeat Carter, his southern rival, in a head-on southern primary. But now there's nothing much for Wallace to do but lick his wounds and figure out what to do next. David Dick, CBS News, Countryside, Illinois.
Other news after this.
Hi, Mike Roy here, along with my favorite friend, Denny Brackham. How you doing, Denny, buddy?
Well, in a bit of a quandary over your topic tomorrow, food additives, Chef. I'm kind of confused. I'm a little worried and wondering about it. What are we going to do here on CBS?
Well, a lot of people are always wondering about it. The best source for information is the library. We'll tell you all about it. But you'd be surprised where you find toxic elements in your food.
I would. Like where?
A carrot or a stick of celery.
Carrot? I've been eating carrots and celery all my... I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to listen tomorrow to Mike's cooking on CBS.
The old gray carrot ain't what it used to be.
Furnace working properly and never burn trash. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
The New York Times reports that three agents of the FBI may have been subverted by hostile foreign intelligence agencies since World War II. The Times, quoting a former intelligence official, described as having direct knowledge of the three incidents. The former official is quoted as saying the evidence was circumstantial and no criminal charges were ever brought against the three agents. Canada's Foreign Minister, Alan McEachin, confirmed Tuesday night that an understanding's been reached on the resumption of Canadian nuclear aid to India. The agreement must be okayed by the Canadian cabinet. Canada shut off its nuclear assistance in 1974 after India had exploded a nuclear device made with plutonium from a Canadian-supplied reactor. A committee of the Mississippi Senate has voted down a resolution calling for the ratification of the proposed Equal Rights Amendment for Women. It's the fourth time the so-called ERA amendment has failed to clear a Senate committee in Mississippi. Now this.
If you're an advertiser, you know ad costs are way up. But media experts say radio is up much less than other media, so radio helps fight adflation. And radio sells. Listen to Paul Farber, VP Marketing, Blue Nun Wine.
During the life of Blue Nun's radio campaign, a period roughly comparable to that in which the wine industry grew a remarkable 69%, Blue Nun grew an astounding 1,700%.
The medium Blue Nun used exclusively radio. Now Ed Ram, head of his own agency, who uses radio for In Jeans apparel chain.
The results have been phenomenal. Sales in 2 years have gone up better than eightfold.
From Blue Nun wine to blue jeans, radio sells any type of product and fights adflation. Call this station. We'll suggest radio ideas that will work for your business. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
A methane gas explosion at an Appalachia coal mine in eastern Kentucky has trapped at least 15 miners more than 5 miles underground. Rescue teams were driven back at first by heavy smoke, but have now established a base within 1,500 feet of the miners. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Cloudy tonight with rain by early tomorrow, occasional rain. And tomorrow and tomorrow night, becoming showery with periods of partial clearing on Thursday. The highs, mid-40s tomorrow, upper 40s on Thursday, and lows in the upper 30s. It's 41 degrees currently in downtown Seattle. It's 40 at the airport. The barometer steady at 30.08. And taking a look at sports in the National Basketball Association, Chicago got past the Seattle Supersonics 102-101. Golden State beat Los Angeles 112-108. New York over Los Angeles 101-96. New Orleans beat Boston 117-99. In the ABA, Kentucky 151, Virginia 114, and Denver beat New York 118-112. CBS Radio Mystery Theater next on KIXI. It's now 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. A young man named Giovanni Guasconti came very long ago from the more southern region of Italy to pursue his studies at the University of Padua. Giovanni, who had but a scant supply of gold ducats, took lodgings in a high and gloomy chamber of an old edifice of a family long since extinct. One of the ancestors of this family had been pictured by Dante as a partaker of the immortal agonies of his inferno. So begins one of Nathaniel Hawthorne's finest short stories, which is a tale you're about to hear. Unforgettable, not alone as literature, but because it haunts and shocks to the root of the soul.
For some purpose, Giovanni, this man of science, Dr. Rappaccini, is making a study of you. I know that look of his. If you know him not, how should he know you?
Dr. Battaglioni, I would only be surmising, and it is a subject I would rather not pursue.
Heed me carefully. I would stake my life that if you are not already one of Rappaccini's inhuman experiments, you are marked for it.
Mystery drama, The Kiss of Death, was adapted from the Nathaniel Hawthorne classic short story, especially for the Mystery Theater, by Ian Martin, and stars Kurt Peterson and Patsy Bruder. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Budweiser presents Beer Talk. Sip by sip by sip. That's one way to drink beer. But when it's Budweiser, a good long drink's better. Ah.
That's the best way to enjoy Bud's rich beechwood aged flavor and aroma. Of course, big swallows will empty your schooner sooner. But look at the bright side. Now you got room for more. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build the Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick LeSabre, free spirit in the family size.
Did this ever happen to you? You see or hear an ad like this. Dining room set, only $99. But when you get to the store, they tell you, we already sold it. Or instead, they show you a set that's in really bad shape. And then they try to sell you another set for $299. This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. And this practice is known as bait and switch. Something is advertised for a very low price. That's the bait, and they don't intend to sell it. And then the salesman tries to sell you something more expensive, and that's the switch. Bait and switch is illegal. Don't fall for it. Here's how to protect yourself. Be suspicious of any attempt by the salesman to sell you something you're not really interested in. If the salesman refuses to show you the advertised item, take your business elsewhere. And if you have any doubts at all about making a purchase, don't sign anything until you've checked out the offer completely.
Nathaniel Hawthorne described Giovanni as having a remarkable beauty of person, rather a Grecian than an Italian head, with fair, regular features and a glistening of gold among his ringlets. But the story he wove about him was as dark and menacing as his looks were light and open. And the terrible and tortuous fate which lurked in waiting for him was as exquisitely agonizing as any Dante contrived for his lost souls in the seven rings of hell.
I did not catch your name, senor, as we boarded the coach.
Giovanni Guasconti.
Ah, and mine, Salvatore Pergamo. You are young for an occupation.
I am a student, sir.
And not from our Tuscany?
No, sir. From the south, Napoli.
Ah, how came you then to Venice?
By boat, all the way round the boot. There was no one of my family left, save only an uncle who died and left me a small estate to study with a friend of his in Padua.
Ah, you do not go then on to Verona?
No, sir. I must find a place to live with as few ducats as I possess, and then seek out my uncle's friend who teaches in the medical school.
Not by any chance Giacomo Rappaccini?
No, I do not know that name.
So much the better for you. It has a large reputation through Italy, but not of the best. Who is your sponsor?
Are you a medical man, Signor Pergamo? Un dottore?
By the faith, no. I am an exporter and importer of goods. It is in the course of the latter half of my business dealings I have run afoul of Dr. Rappaccini.
Run afoul?
I speak too freely to strangers. It is a fault of mine. I say only that Dr. Rappaccini has deep and strong interest in potent and very dangerous drugs, or rather in plants that produce them. You are a young man of open heart and seeming promise. I am glad you will not be associated with him. Did you tell me your sponsor's name?
No. It is Master Pietro Baglioni, doctor professor at the university.
Where do you stay in Padua?
I have no idea.
Not with the old Dottore Baglioni?
Oh, no. He was a friend of my uncle's, but only a distant acquaintance of the family. I would not have him beholden to me further.
Perbacco, I like you, boy. You have a good heart and an ease of manner that bespeaks you well. Here. There is in Padua an old nurse from our family who came into some property in a large house. Here is her address and a note from me. I am sure Dame Elisabetta Falcone will settle you comfortably and within your purse.
Had I a son, I cannot think of quarters where you could be better or safer lodged.
Si, senor.
La dama Elisabetta Falcone?
At your service. To whom have I the honor of speaking?
Giovanni Guascante. I bear an introduction from an old friend, a Signor Salvatore Pergamo.
Oh, il maestro. Oh, Dio. Any friend of my little boy is... Oh, come in, I beg you.
Thank you.
Prego. Oh, Salvatore. I was his nurse, you know. Oh, many years ago now. Tell me, how is he? In good health, happy?
In the most excellent health, I should say, judging by his girth.
Oh.
He gave me a letter for you, asking you forgive the script.
Oh, bless the master. He can never bear to remember that I, who brought him up, can neither read nor write. But his signature and seal, that I recognize. Signor, would you be good enough to read what the paper says? Hey, let me bring the lantern nearer.
Why, it is simple enough. He says, Carissima. This will serve to introduce a young man of good family and great prospects, whose purse is not yet heavy and must find lodging while he attends the university. I could wish him no better fate than you may find room to take him in.
Oh, you could not come with a higher recommendation. Of course, you shall stay here.
I followed her up the curving marble staircase. The ceilings and walls finished in great old frescoes. The paint now molding and peeling from the walls.
I have a few tradesmen who board on the lower floors. Too damp and musty for the young maestro. I'm afraid you're not very taken with Padua.
I miss the sun. There is a chill here in the bones.
Or in the heart. You're homesick?
I have no home left. My parents, all my family, are dead.
Ah, then, that is enough to dim the sun for anyone. Ecco, signor.
Magnifico. But can I afford it?
Oh, no one else is young enough to climb the stairs. Ah, but you have seen nothing yet. Come to the window.
How beautiful. And how strange.
Ah, surely there is as bright a sunshine as you left in Naples.
Bright, though not so warm. What a magnificent garden.
Is it not something special?
Very. A botanical garden and so lovingly cared for. Does this belong to the house?
Oh, no, signor. No, it's from the villa next door.
Such strange, exotic plants. The purples and the magentas. I don't recognize any of them.
No more than I. Observe the gigantic leaves, the huge, heavy blossoms. They're all imported, of course, for the great man who owns them. You see? Oh, that is he. You can see working at one of the beds, by the stone urn near the statue.
Surely that is no gardener in the scholar's garb of black?
Oh, bless us, no. He permits no one else but himself to come near his plants. That is Dr. Rappaccini himself.
Rappaccini?
Ah, even in Naples you've heard his name, eh?
No, not in Naples. More recently.
Oh, well, I'm sure he's famous all over Italy. And Europe, and the world, for that matter. So, will the room suit you, do you think?
Admirably. But if it will suit my purse.
Oh, we shall arrange that when you join us for the evening meal. If you will be my guest.
Why, how kind.
Oh, thank me later, young gallant. You may have the more reason. Keep your eye on the garden. There is one flower that adorns it, more beautiful than any you have already seen.
The strange, eerie beauty of that garden below held me spellbound. I watched the tall, emaciated figure of the doctor tend his garden, so intent on his ministrations that he was oblivious to all else. Not an herb or a shrub escaped such a scientific and minute examination that it seemed as if he were looking into their innermost nature. And yet, he avoided inhaling their odors or actually touching them, and walked among them with a caution that suggested a man walking among malignant spirits. Obviously, he was not the one who cultivated them. I was just wondering who did when...
Beatrice! Beatrice!
Here I am, Father. Are you in the garden?
Yes, and I need your help.
I'll be down in a moment.
Now I knew what Dama Falcone had meant when she said I had yet to see the garden's most beautiful flower. For brief as the glimpse I had had of her, this was the most radiant, the most vibrantly alive woman I had ever seen in my life.
What is it, Father?
Our chief treasure. It needs more care than I dare offer in my shattered state. I'm afraid you must take it over as all the others.
Gladly. You know how I love them all. But this one... Oh, yes. I am talking to you, my sister. It shall be my task to serve you. And in return, you shall reward me with your perfumed breath, which is the breath of life to me.
Never let her languish. She is my greatest triumph. And if truth be told, more than the breath of...
What is it, Father? Something wrong?
No. Nothing wrong. Come. The hour grows late, and the night air is not kind to my chest these days.
Was the sickly, somehow menacing Dr. Rappaccini merely finished with his garden inspection? Or had he somehow spied me in the evening shadows of my lattice window? A bell sounding below took me away from my speculations, and I quickly descended to supper.
So, all is settled to your satisfaction, and you desire to take the room?
I already feel at home. If the agreed-on sum is enough...
Oh, more than enough.
I promise you I shall not be a roisterer. In fact, I anticipate spending a great deal of time in my room above that magic window.
I take it you have already seen its richest bloom.
Yes, just before supper. Signora Falcone, how can I gain an introduction to her? Do you...
Oh, the Rappaccinis are far above my head. For all my villas next door, they might live in another world. But surely the great gentleman at the university, Dr. Baglioni, to whom you bear a note of introduction, will know his fellow doctor.
Of course. I shall sleep on the hope of that. If indeed, after all that has happened to me today, allows me to sleep.
At your age, sleep comes easily and welcome.
When I awoke, I had overslept and was bone weary from my travels and my new environment. But I was brought to immediate life by the sound of a voice already adored outside my window.
Father, must you leave so soon?
I have a lecture at the university. Is all well with you here?
Of course. I have been tending my sister. See how she lifts her head today since I've fed and nourished her.
All velvet and sheen and rich and glimmering like the most precious of stones. You breathe a new life on it.
As it does on me.
You are the richer by far.
If either of us are, what would we have without each other?
You are lonely, Bellissima.
For a little human companionship.
Quite right. I must provide you some. But how?
We could have a ball or a dinner party.
No. Not in this house. This house, no.
I know since Mother has gone you have become a recluse, but it is changing. It is time to think of me.
I know, and I promise I shall. But it is not a simple matter.
I can wait, but not too much longer.
I promise you, you shall not have to.
Guilty eavesdropping from my window, but my heart cried out to have Beatrice as my own, and somehow my mind cried out as loudly to forget her, to run, to leave while there was still time. Time for what? And then, suddenly, I realized what was so strange about the garden. All about me, outside it, in other trees, the birds twittered and swooped and lived their lives, but in the garden of my loved one, no bird lived. And no bird sang.
Bird,
has any threatened danger held back a man in love? And what danger could lurk in a garden of luxuriant and healthy flowers and shrubs? That Giovanni is about to find out and refuse to believe until the ultimate truth is too undeniable. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then
talk to the good hands people.
First question, does your present group plan cover all x-rays and lab tests other than in routine physical exams? If not,
talk to the good hands people.
Does your present group plan provide disability income protection to help replace your employees' paychecks and yours? If not,
talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The Bible tells of King Nebuchadnezzar who dreamed dreams that troubled his sleep. One day he commanded his magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers to recreate a particular dream and to interpret it. Daniel, gifted by God with the ability to interpret dreams, told the king his dream and its meaning. Upon hearing Daniel, the king exclaimed, "Of truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets." Dreams and visions are ways in which God can speak to man. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Influence in the light of morning that tends to rectify whatever errors of fantasy or even of judgment we may have incurred during the sun's decline or in the less wholesome glow of moonlight. These are Mr. Hawthorne's words, and what better ones to project that by the following morning, after a good sleep, young Giovanni, looking out his window in the bright sun, found the garden below him a lovely place. It was time to present himself at the university and to meet his sponsor, Il Dottore Baglioni.
So, you wish to study medicine, hmm?
I wish to provide myself with a livelihood, since my patrimony will soon be exhausted.
Oh, frankly spoken again. I like you. I think we might make a doctor of you yet. Report to me tomorrow at the hour of 6 in the morning. Now, you say you are settled with somewhere to stay?
Yes, sir. At La Dama Falcone's house on the Via Eletto.
Via Eletto. Via El... Is that near Il Dottore Rappaccini's house?
Yes. The very next villa. I have been given to understand he is a man of considerable renown.
Yes. The name is known.
I had gathered more than that. Even famous?
Rappaccini. A brilliant and amazing man. It is his theory that all medicinal virtues are comprised within those substances we call vegetable poisons. Human life means very little to him. Oh, now and then he achieves a miraculous cure, but in my private mind, these are more probably the work of chance.
Well, I must confess, I am only interested in Signor Rappaccini because of his daughter.
With at least half the young men in Padua, huh? Of whom few have ever seen her face. Nay, nephew of my old friend, in this I am of more hindrance than help. I am afraid an attempted introduction from me to my rival or his daughter would amount to the kiss of death. I beg you to stay away from Rappaccini and his wild obsessions. Too close an acquaintance with him might prove for you what I already jokingly termed myself, the kiss of death.
I returned to my lodgings, and on an impulse, I bought a fresh bouquet of flowers from a florist I passed. Arriving home, I mounted breathlessly to my eyrie and was rewarded to see my enchantress engaged below in the garden. She was in the act of being about to pluck one of the strange, exotic flowers from the special plant by the fountain when, on an impulse, I cried out, "By your leave, signorina!"
"Who calls me?"
"Giovanni Guasconti, your servant and admirer. Do not pluck that flower."
"And why not, pray, Signor Stranger?"
"Because I have here such fresh and lovely and healthful flowers as should adorn such beauty and grace. May I dare to toss them to you and ask you to wear them for my sake? Thus..."
"I thank you, good sir. You speak our language softly and in a different manner from what my ears are used to. Are you from some other land?"
"No. I am Italian, as you, but from the south."
"You seem quite fair, unlike the few... unlike the other young men I have met."
"I wish we could meet more formally."
"And so do I."
If I were to call and present my compliments to your father..."
"No. That is not the way. Not yet. But perhaps sometimes we can talk like this. Only it's so far, I wish I could show you my garden."
"I wish I could walk in it with you."
"At least if we cannot yet, let me return your gift by throwing you one special flower."
"I believe it too far for you to cast it."
"Since I've already picked it, at least I can try. Ready?"
"Yes, as high as you can." "Oh, I have it. Oh, no.
Don't fall."
"It had to be one of us. So I let the blossom go. Try again."
"Not for the world. I would not risk..."
"Beatrice!"
"In the garden, Father. I shall be in directly. If you should be in your room tomorrow afternoon..."
"I'm afraid I shall be at my studies at the university. But Beatrice! Soon, I hope..."
"Beatrice! The night air is chill. Come in."
"Coming. Yes. So do I hope. Soon. And thank you for my flowers. I will guard them and keep them well."
Was it some trick of imagination in the half-light after sundown? But as she turned and fled up the garden path, did my eyes deceive me that my lovely bouquet was already withering in her grasp? What nonsense. I tried to tell myself there was no possibility of distinguishing a faded flower from a fresh one at so great a distance. And my hand, where I had touched her flower, burned with a fever of longing. It was 3 days before I had returned to my full senses again, weak from loss of weight and the debilitating effect of some raging poison that had drained my system. I awakened to see Dama Falcone's kind and worried face hovering over my bed.
"Oh, so we are awake at last and in our senses, eh?"
"Signora, what are you doing in my room?"
"Oh, what have I been doing the last 3 days under the Dottore Baglioni's orders but keeping cool compresses on your brow and feeding you gruel to keep body and soul together?"
"Have I been ill then?"
"Oh, with such a raging of the blood that our good dottore was worried about you till this morning."
"What caused it?"
"Even he is not sure. There are infectious germs about this time of year. And after your long trip and the shock of losing your family, Dr. Baglioni thinks you fell prey to one of them."
3 days? What time is it? Afternoon?"
"Oh, it wants several hours of sunset yet. No, you must not sit up yet till the dottore returns."
"Oh, I just want to... Oh, I am weak. Can you see, in the garden, Is the Signor Rappaccini there?
No one without business save the docks have been abroad these days. It has rained as if it were time to start building a second ark. Oh, Dio, that will be the good dottore back. I must go down and let him in.
As soon as she had left the room, I found my way weakly to the window. A gray curtain of rain blurred the empty garden below. I staggered back to my bed, my feet unsteady, my brain reeling. Had I really tossed a bouquet of flowers to Beatrice? And did I remember catching but letting fall the blossoms from the garden she threw me in exchange? Then I blacked out again, not to come to till I found Dr. Baglioni examining me.
Well, 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 well. A fine way to start out learning to be a doctor, my young friend, huh? Will it make you a better physician to begin as a patient?
I don't know, sir.
Well, not if you start out a dead one. But it seems you will recover.
What has ailed me?
Some unique humor of the blood. Thanks be to God you responded well when I bled you. You should be on your feet very soon.
When? How soon?
Oh, within the week, no doubt, with one as young and as vital as you. Meanwhile, rest and eat well. The good Dama Elisabetta will see that you are fed to regain the weight you have lost.
How can I thank you enough for your aid and comfort? It is good to have a friend in a strange city.
More than one. More than one. Surprisingly, someone else today inquired as to your well-being with what appeared to be great personal interest.
Who?
Dr. Rappaccini.
What?
I was not aware that you had made his acquaintance.
Nor have I.
Well, that is welcome news. For if you will follow my advice, you will have as little to do as possible with him.
Why do you say that?
For some purpose, this man of science is making a study of you. I know that look of his. I have seen that cold illumination as he bends over a bird, a mouse, a butterfly, which, in pursuit of some experiment, he has killed by the perfume of a flower. Now, if you know him not, how should he know you?
I would only be surmising, and it is a subject I would rather not pursue.
And an acquaintance you had better not either, for, heed me carefully, Signor Giovanni, I would stake my life that if you are not already one of Rappaccini's inhuman experiments, you are marked for it.
By the next morning, as I awoke refreshed and feeling myself...
Buongiorno, Signor Guasconti.
Buongiorno, Dama Falcone.
Oh, out of bed, naughty boy. I bring you your breakfast to eat in bed.
Oh, I have it here by the window.
Now, you must eat everything and not allow the attention to wander.
Oh, I will eat. I am famished.
For food or for a sight of Rappaccini's daughter?
I suppose nothing escapes that sharp eye of yours, Mother Falcone.
Not much. Or my ear. Oh, I think I could have told that doctor what ailed you better than he.
What?
I heard you and the signorina talking from the window. I think you are taken with a disease of the heart, no?
Beatrice, yes, but it is hopeless, I'm afraid. If only I could meet and walk with her in the garden.
Well, there is a private entrance into the garden from the street.
A private entrance to Dr. Rappaccini's garden?
Shh, not so loud. Almost any young man in Padua would sell his soul or his birthright to be admitted among those flowers.
You may have what little I have if you will show me the way.
Oh, Tosh, I want nothing from you. No, I have been well paid already. And here is the key. I give it to you in return for one thing only.
What? Name it.
You are pale as a ghost and thin as a rail. Mangia, signor, so you don't scare the girl half to death.
I ate like a lion, dressed in my very best. My blessed guide, Signora Falcone led me along several obscure passages. Then, suddenly, we were at the door. I thanked her, turned the key easily in the lock, which must have been oiled. I was in Dr. Rappaccini's garden, practically under my own window.
Welcome, Signor.
You are not surprised to see me?
A connoisseur of flowers such as yourself. After the lovely bouquet you tossed me 4 days ago, it is no marvel that my father's rare collection has tempted you to take a nearer view.
Was it you who sent this key?
Why, no.
Well, then who?
I know not. But does it matter? You are here. Come, I will show you our garden.
If fame speaks true, you are as deeply skilled in these rich blossoms and spicy perfumes as your father.
No. Although I have grown up among these flowers, I know no more of them than their hues and their perfumes. Believe me.
Oh, there is the flower you tried to toss me by my window.
May the good Lord be blessed you failed to grasp it.
Why? I wanted it very much for a keepsake. Methinks you owe me one. I shall pick it for myself.
Oh, no! Touch it not! Not for your very life. It would kill you.
Hiding her face, Beatrice rushes from him into the house, and his eyes following her, behold within the shadow of the entrance the emaciated, ominous figure of the black-clad Dr. Rappaccini. I'll return with Act 3.
Budweiser presents Beer Talk. Lots of beer drinkers say the heck with the foam. Fill that glass up to the brim. But hold it. When you're pouring Budweiser, Bud is brewed to taste best with a healthy head of foam. Those little Beechwood-aged bubbles are really something special. And the Bud Brewmaster would sure hate to see you miss out on a single one.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
Pardon. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way, born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way, and birth defects are forever unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation, a tomorrow without handicaps at birth. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Bewildered and shaken by his strange encounter with the girl he loves, Giovanni has stumbled back to his room, suddenly overcome with the debility of his 3-day illness, so faint that he is barely able to climb the stairs to his room. Once there, however, no matter how much his fever-weakened body longs for the bed, instinct or some deeper drive forces him to the window.
But how could you have given him the key to visit me if you knew there was danger for him?
No danger now, my little one.
But to think that thoughtlessly, the other day I tossed a blossom from this to him. Had he caught it, what would have happened to him?
He would have died.
Oh, sweet Mary, forgive me.
You were innocent, my love.
That would have been but small help to him. Oh, Papa, How can I let him continue to come, even supposing he ever wants to again?
Come inside, daughter. This is no place to talk. We may be overheard if he is back in his room.
If we are, then I say this. I know he loves me as I love him. But for his sake, I think it would be better he stayed away from me.
No. I have not long to live. And it is time for you to meet with someone. Let me explain just how this may be accomplished in spite of all. I have been studying on this for a long time, and I have come to a conclusion.
Behind the drape on my window, I had listened to this conversation between Beatrice and her father. Now, as I watched them disappear into the house, I looked down on that fateful, hideous flower that my beloved could fondle and kiss with no harm. Could it be so deadly? The answer was vouchsafed immediately. Crawling across one of the statues was a small chameleon, which in its passage had accidentally brushed against a tendril from the strange shrub. In a second, from the touch of that tendril, the lizard contorted itself in one writhing spasm, and then, as if eaten by invisible fire, crackled like a moth in a candle flame and was gone. I could think no more. I threw myself on the bed and mercifully passed into darkness.
Good morning, my young friend.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Baglioni.
So, what is this that La Lama Falcone has been telling me about you having a relapse and other things?
Such as?
That you have not only talked several times with La Signorina Rappaccini, but that you have also gained access to the garden and met her there.
Yes, Signor. That is true.
I look at you, and physically you appear to have made a remarkable recovery. This morning, you literally glow with health.
It is true. I feel rested and full of life.
I'm forced to conclude that perhaps this strange distemper that attacked you is less of the mind than perhaps of the heart.
You're right, Doctor. Completely right. I am in love with Beatrice Rappaccini.
I feared as much.
With no estate or name and with no prospects but a long term of study before me, you consider my suit as hopeless as I?
I consider it hopeless for deeper reasons. I think you must have some suspicions of the truth already. Very well. I've been too late to stop Rappaccini's experiment with his daughter, but at least I can try to stop him from whatever new experiment he plans for you.
For me? What interest could he have in me? I haven't even met the man.
Or where do you think the key came from that admitted you to the garden?
Beatrice. Who else?
From Rappaccini. Ask the Dama Falcone if you don't believe me. It was placed in her hands by the doctor himself, along with a golden ducat to make sure she brought it to you.
But why? I don't understand.
Who can penetrate the clouded workings of this tortured mind? A man who would sacrifice his own daughter to his own obsession.
Is there nothing we can do for her? I would gladly give my life.
Let us not be too hasty. There may be a way to outwit Rappaccini yet.
How?
You see this little silver flask? It was wrought by the hands of the great Cellini.
It must be priceless.
Ah, yes. But most of all, because of what it contains. One sip of the antidote in it would render all the poisons of the Borgias innocuous. Bestow it on your Beatrice, and we will thwart Rappaccini yet.
Once my dear old friend had left, I hastened to dress, my heart buoyed with the hope that the silver flask would make all well. And then came the ultimate blow. A small bird had crashed against the pane of my open window and dropped to the ledge. I went to the poor little creature, lifting it and finding it still alive and
only momentarily stunned. Soothingly, I brought it to my lips, touching them to its head, about to make a sound of reassurance. But to my horror, like the chameleon in the garden the day before, the touch of my lips galvanized it into one agonizing spasm, and then it dissolved into nothingness in my hands. At the same moment, the voice of Beatrice called me from the garden.
Giovanni! Giovanni, are you there?
What do you want of me now, accursed, poisonous witch?
Oh, no! Come down to the garden. Let me try to explain.
No need for explanations anymore. I am the only being your breath cannot slay. Your kiss may never kill. I stumbled from my room for the door and for the garden. I was a mass of conflicting emotions. Love, hate, despair, and murderous fury as I faced Beatrice in that deadly garden. How can you pretend ignorance? Shall I prove the power I have gained from the pure daughter of Rappaccini?
No, no. No proof is necessary.
So you admit you have cast your poisonous spell on me. You saw what happened to the bird on the window?
I saw. But it is not me. Believe me. It is my father's fatal science.
How could you have not known?
How could I have known? Locked up a prisoner all these years in this garden. My only companions, my father and the flowers. Particularly this evil thing of beauty that I pretended was a sister, because I had no human being to share my love and friendship with.
You must have known. You had to know. Yesterday, when I reached for the blossom on this venomous vine, you cried out, "Touch it not, it will kill you."
I did cry that out.
And yet, a few days earlier, when I brought you flowers, you tossed the same blossom to me at my window. Luckily that it only grazed my fingers, for that touch alone was enough to put me in a flush, a fever that nearly killed me.
I knew nothing of that.
Where did you think I was? If I had been myself, for all the love I had in my heart for you, don't you think I would have been daily at your window?
I thought you were at the university studying as you told me you would be.
Of course. All innocence. And having failed to dispatch me from a distance, you had to provide me entry to the garden to make sure to... Oh, dear. Forgive me. I don't know what I'm saying. It was you who saved my life.
A life that, believe me, I never had dreamed stood in any danger from me or mine. Your life was the most precious thing in the world to me. And because of it, I had to drive you from me.
Why? I was in no danger.
Don't you see? I knew nothing till after my father had given you the key. Even then, the one thing he told me was that you must not touch this flower upon pain of death. I was so lonely for you. I loved you so. I wanted only to spend a little time alone with you. I had forgot the flower when you were near, and all the world seemed lovely. Before I knew that I was something hateful and poisonous, sister to that deadly flower.
Where did it come from?
My father created it.
Created it?
He knows all the vile secrets of nature. At the very hour when I first drew breath, this plant sprung from the soil, the offspring of his science, his intellect, while I was only his earthly child. But I grew up and was nourished by it. I thought of it as my sister, not as my doom.
Not only yours, but mine. Look!
No! Giovanni!
You see, I picked the flower, and it is harmless to me now as you.
I have put my curse on what I love best.
No curse, my daughter.
Dr. Rappaccini.
No curse. You made us both unclean.
Unclean? Look at you. One step below gods, both of you, and I created you. Feel the power that courses through your veins, the magic gift my arts have brought you. You could quell the mightiest enemy with a breath, shrivel the most monstrous onslaught against you with a touch. What more could you ask than to be as near immortal as man or woman may reach?
I would have chosen to be loved, not feared. I am condemned forever to what I am.
Our fate is not so desperate, thanks to my friend, Dr. Baglioni.
Baglioni? That bumbling bigot!
In this flask, Beatrice. Here's an antidote distilled of blessed herbs which can purify us.
Then let us drink.
No! I warn you. Drink of that flask, and it can bring you only death. So powerful as the poisons you have thrived on, as powerful is that antidote. No human body could stand the conflict.
Don't listen to him, Beatrice. Drink, and I will follow.
Stop! I will not let you destroy my triumphs. I will shoot you first.
He has a pistol. You will have to shoot me first, Father.
If death is to be our portion, then let it be for all evil.
What are you doing?
Uprooting forever this venomous vine. Take it to your own bosom, where it belongs.
I am undone.
I did not mean to cause his death. I thought he was immune.
No. My father was immune to nothing except love. Heaven forgive him. He is better off dead. Now, quick, let us drink.
It may mean death. You heard Dr. Rappaccini.
I will not live as I am.
Nor I.
Then give it to me. I shall drink first.
No. I shall pour half in the cap of the flask. The flask is for you.
To the future, Giovanni.
To our future. Whatever it may be.
What future did these lovers find? Were they star-crossed as Romeo and Juliet? Or did the gods smile on them like Elizabeth and Robert Browning? Well, what does it matter, after all, if they were together? A good story doesn't always need an end. At least none beyond that the listener chooses to select and believe for himself. I'll be back shortly.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus strainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Son, you're a credit to your father.
Oh, you never said that about him before. What did he do now?
Not him. The Internal Revenue Service. The new tax reduction law now lets us take a $30 credit off our federal income tax for each person we can claim as a dependent.
Oh, I thought we got a $750 exemption.
We still do, but for every such personal exemption for you, me, and the kids, we can deduct $30 right off the tax we owe, up to the amount of the tax, but no more.
My dad's over 65. He gets a double exemption. Does he get a double credit?
Sorry, only one credit per person.
I hear some murmurs of dissatisfaction with the ending. Then let us make a confession. The story, as you have heard it, does not end exactly as Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote it. If you must have an ending to this dark tale, you can read his solution. We can only say we thought poor Beatrice and her unlucky lover Giovanni deserved a better fate, dead or alive. And we left it to you to choose. Our cast included Kirk Peterson, Patsy Bruder, Arnold Moss, Bryna Rayburn, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
The effect only lasts for an hour or so, but we can't be sure of it until we try it on a human. On the rats in the lab, it lasted 1 hour. Then, gradually, they reappeared. No worse for the experience.
Then it's not dangerous?
Not to the animals. But we've got to try it on a human to really find out. To get the subjective reactions. I mean, will I see myself? Or will I look down and see nothing but space? How will I move? My body will still be there. I won't be able to walk through things like a ghost, or will I? These are the questions we have to answer. With a human subject.
You.
Me.
You'll
You'll come out of it all right.
We hope and expect so. The effect has to wear off.
And if it doesn't?
You'll never see me again.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Allstate Insurance Companies. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Occasional rain tomorrow and tomorrow night, becoming showery with periods of partial clearing on Thursday. The highs, mid-40s tomorrow, the upper 40s on Thursday, and the lows tonight in the upper 30s. It's currently 41 degrees in downtown Seattle.
...24 hours of bright and beautiful music. 91 KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News is next, the time, 11 o'clock.
CBS News, President Ford and Jimmy Carter are the winners in the Florida presidential primaries. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president came out on top of Reagan again, with 95% of the Florida precincts reporting. Mr. Ford has 53% of the vote. Reagan has 47%. The president said he's overjoyed. His campaign manager says he doesn't see how Reagan can win now. Ronald Reagan was in Illinois campaigning for that state's primary next week. In Rock Island, Reagan talked about his loss in Florida and the other primaries.
This means that the challenging an incumbent, the incumbent in these first couple of primaries, has thrown the whole load at us. He has shot all the big artillery there is, used everything in the incumbency that he can, and we're still possessing almost half of the Republican vote. And I think we have just started to touch on some issues that are of vital importance to the people, and I'm going to keep on touching on those issues, the issues of national defense and America's fall to second place militarily.
Reagan says he will carry his fight for the GOP presidential nomination all the way to the party convention in Kansas City. To the surprise of some, Jimmy Carter won the Democratic primary in Florida. Many expected George Wallace to win Florida, as he did 4 years ago. Again, with 95% of the precincts reporting, Carter has 35% of the vote. Wallace second with 32%. In third place is Henry Jackson with 22%. Carter told his supporters he thinks there is a new South and a new America, adding, I am the most likely candidate to win the presidency. Wallace said he felt good about his showing in Florida. Jackson said he's satisfied to wait another day and predicted Carter will be unable to win the big industrial states. More news in a moment.
America is celebrating its 200th birthday. Metropolitan Life has had more than 100. Which birthday are you approaching? At Metropolitan, we'd like to remind you that years and birthdays always pass by sooner than you think. If you want to be ready for the future, you have to prepare for it now. We've spent over a century helping people do just that, and your Metropolitan Insurance representative can do the same for you.
We're helping 40 million people, more than 40 million people.
After a day-long effort to rescue 15 coal miners trapped underground by an explosion in Kentucky, officials a short time ago announced bad news. This from State Mines Commissioner Harold Kirkpatrick.
We have located all 15 of the bodies. The families have been notified. Just now we located the last two bodies at approximately 1:20 a.m. All 15 of the persons are dead.
The men were trapped in a coal mine 15 miles south of Whitesburg in eastern Kentucky, cut off by an explosion that released methane gas in the shaft and prevented rescue workers from getting to them in time. The men were trapped more than 5 miles under the ground. China watchers are assessing a new article in the Peking People's Daily, which appears to spell the political demise of Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping. He looks like the target of the article, which alludes to a capitalist rotor virtually beyond redemption. 2 months ago, Deng was regarded as the second most powerful man in China, but observers say the editorial appears to dash his hopes of future leadership. The president of the National Association of Home Builders says the current economics of home maintenance have priced 8 out of 10 potential house buyers out of the market. John Hart says in the past 2 decades, taxes and inflation have increased maintenance costs for homeowners by more than 300%. In a speech in Washington on Tuesday, President Ford said the United States is on the road to a new prosperity and that the national economy has made a solid recovery. The president addressed the annual convention of the Associated General Contractors of America, saying every week we're hearing more and more good economic news. Now this.
Come see, there's good news round the corner. Goodyear, wherever you are. Goodyear, good and close to home for more Goodyears in your car.
This week, let your Goodyear service store align the front end of your U.S.-made car for just $11.88. Goodyear's precision equipment assures an alignment that can really help increase tire mileage. Come in for this $11.88 value now. Parts extra, front wheel drives excluded.
Goodyear tires and Goodyear service car.
Your local lung association says that every cigarette puff you take is bad for you and bad for the innocent non-smoker child or adult in your smoking vicinity. Work on quitting, tough as it is, and work on remembering that non-smokers have breathing rights too. Helping them and helping yourself might make it a bit easier to kick the habit.
Your local lung association considers it a matter of life and breath.
The Internal Revenue Service says it may take years to complete its tax fraud investigations of about 35 major U.S. corporations. An IRS spokesman noted that the companies, each with more than $250 million in assets, are being checked for possible tax fraud as a result of recent corporate bribery and kickback scandals. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And the time at KIXI now, 6 minutes past 11.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac on liberal arts. It is said that the ancient Persians had schools in which virtue was taught as a liberal art. What an important idea that could be. It is certainly of great consequence to a man to learn to govern his passion, to be just in his dealings, to be temperate in his pleasure, and to behave with prudence. It is much more advantageous to be thus qualified than to be a master of all the arts and sciences in the world. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
If you're a businessman looking for business insurance, consider the Insurance Store. With one stop, you'll find trained business insurance experts and a choice of many leading business insurance companies, like Continental Insurance. For your nearest insurance store, just see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
Your dial is set for better music and CBS News on KIXI.